so sad. Your life isn't over. Jesus is here. If you should find you ever need him, don't say a word about tomorrow or your past life. There'll be no time for sadness when you meet him.
Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today.
That the longer you hear the voice of God and the longer you're in relationship with God, the more you're amazed at how wide and how deep and how long he is. He's always got new dimensions to share with you. You know, the more I know about him, the more I realize how much more there is to know about him. The day I become an expert, that's the day I stop growing. And I don't want to become an expert on God. I just want to always be a learner.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Today we have Bob Haslett in a second part of his guest appearance, and he's the man that teaches extreme Christianity. God is taking him on unusual paths, and I'm so glad to have Bob here today in a second appearance. Bob Haslett. Hi, Bob.
Great to share. The last time, you know, we were talking about at the end of our last session how God said in the last days he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. You know, it didn't just say Christian flesh. It didn't just say Pentecostal flesh. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. That may be a stretch for some people, but I believe that God created every person with a purpose and God's speaking to them. Having grown up in the church myself, it was very kind of straight line about who God would speak to and not, you know, and I won't name denominations, but I was part of a denomination. If we drive past a different denomination, we'd say, well, those people aren't going to heaven, you know. In fact, we were so sure we were going to heaven, we got saved every week just to make sure. And it was good. We always felt like we were in that place of holiness because we were always repenting. And I've come to learn that God, his love is so powerful. And that he reaches out to so many different types of people, and even people that I would say they're outside of that net. They're not outside of that net for me anymore. I experienced a couple of years ago something that changed my heart in that issue. And that was I was teaching at a conference, somewhat like this Power and Love. It was meetings like this, but a woman came up to me at the end of one of the meetings, and she said, "I've never felt the Spirit the way I felt the Spirit in this place." Have you ever felt the Spirit before? Yeah. I mean, I know what she meant by felt the Spirit. She felt a peace. She just felt the atmosphere of open atmosphere. But she said to me, "I would like you to bring that Spirit to my church sometime." And I introduced her to my wife, who would schedule all our meetings at the time. She put a date on the calendar where we could go and visit this church. And it was nothing unusual. My wife put the date on the calendar. She gave me the information. I probably placed it in my Bible or somewhere and didn't look at it again for another week. So I didn't know, you know, I went to write it down on the calendar about a week later, and I looked at the name of the church, and it sounded like a strange name for a church. I won't tell you the name, but it wasn't a name of a church I would normally name a church. So I looked it up on the internet, and I found out that this was a New Age church. So I actually was invited to speak now at a church that worshiped differently than me, worshiped multiple gods, worshiped in multiple methods that, you know, that I would think would be not the Christian method to worship. And certainly they weren't worshiping the Spirit, same Spirit that I was worshiping.
But they have the name of Christ to call it a church.
Actually, this was an interfaith church.
Interfaith, and they called it.
Uh-huh. And it was, I won't tell you the name of the church, but they welcome everyone and they worship everything that's possible.
And was the music in that like the music? I'm just kind of curious. I want to look inside a minute when you went in.
The music, some of it would be what we would sing, but they would edit out some, like they would sing from a hymnal and then they would edit out some. And then they would just sing a lovely song like "Let There Be Peace on Earth" and "Let It Begin With Me." And then they would have their own chants and their own kind of sometimes just a free singing. They might have drum circles where they would just drum and they would kind of meditate to the beat of the drums. They would have kind of prayers and meditations where they would try to vibrate with the universe and be in unison with the universe. Okay. Those are the kinds of experiences that we saw that I wasn't familiar with.
I just wanted to see what it was like in there. Okay.
It was certainly probably not like your church or my church or many churches that people would go to, but there was a sincerity in people's hearts. They were hungry. They were seeking something. They were spiritual seekers. Well, whenever I got this invitation and I saw the type of church it was at, first of all, I had to wonder, was this God or was this a trap of the enemy? You know, I mean, am I going into darkness and should I not do this? And so I know the voice of God. I've spoken to him. I have a confidence that he wants to speak to me about these things. And so I just pray, Jesus, what should I do? Should I go to this church? And, you know, I heard clearly in my heart these words. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go.
That's got an earmark of God.
It sure does, because it wasn't what I expected. And now Jesus actually wanted to be with these people.
Yeah.
That Jesus, because he created them, he loved them. And so I thought, well, I certainly can't let Jesus go by himself. So I should probably go ahead and go. And we scheduled it. You know, the funny thing is, having grown up in a Christian church, I just had no grid for what this would be like. There was a certain amount of fear in me, you know, because it's an unusual environment. And maybe it's going to be a spiritually adverse environment. Maybe there's going to be
contaminated.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, what we might say, you know, demonic spirits or whatever, negative spiritual influences there. And so, you know, I had to prepare my heart. And one of the things that God showed me was this, that the darkness can never get on to light. Light can only get on to darkness. So that I didn't need to be afraid that darkness could somehow get to me, but I'm actually there to displace any darkness that's there. And that I didn't need to be afraid of catching something from another belief system, like a virus that would infect me, but that I was actually going to release the virus of God's love to them. You know, they could catch what I had, because I had something more powerful. So I was invited to go there, and they asked me, well, what's the topic that you're going to speak on? And I don't know how many people you know that, you know, are prophetic type people, but usually prophetic type people, they don't know what they're going to speak about until probably 20 minutes after they started talking. So 4 months down the road, I wasn't sure really what I was going to talk about. So, and because I grew up in the church, I only know Christian topics. So I decided I'd talk about something that sounded spiritual, but yet, you know, wouldn't be something that would turn them off. I was just going to talk about truth. Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is truth? And I thought that's a question a lot of people are asking. So I thought it sounded mystical. You know, what is truth? I don't know. What do you think it is? I don't know. So, you know, we could all ponder that question, and I would just answer it with Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's truth. He's truth. So I sent them that topic, and I'm going to speak about what is truth. And then God was in this whole situation, because just the same week, I got a phone call from a pastor friend of mine. And he told me he had just had a visiting speaker at his church, and that this speaker ministered in the New Age culture. And that this minister actually for 12 years had been ministering to people in these alternative spiritualities and these Eastern mysticisms. And he said, for some reason, I felt like I should call you and give you his number, that you guys should connect. Isn't that great how God works? Yeah, so I was like, yeah, please give me his number. I really need to meet this guy. And because both of us had active speaking schedules, it was very busy time. And we traded emails, but we never connected by phone, left voicemails. But it was just a few days or a week or so before I had this appointment to speak at this church that this gentleman and I actually connected. And he had a ministry at the time. It was in California. And he would go to different festivals and things and just minister to these people that were seeking spiritual things. And so I said, can you give me any advice? Because I grew up in the church. I don't really know anything about this culture. And he said, well, the one piece of advice I give everyone that I help in this area is when you minister to someone that's in the New Age culture, that you don't want to start out with the scripture. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because he said, if you do that, they'll just think, they'll shut the door on you. Even though that scripture is true, and we know it's true, that they'll think that you're narrow-minded and that you're not open-minded, and you're giving them sort of a choice. Are you in or are you out? Turn or burn, you know? And he said, it's better to build the bridge first. So I said, well, of course I would never be so insensitive as to do anything like that. But I said, could you pray for me, please, you know? So it was great, because what I find is that the longer you hear the voice of God and the longer you're in relationship with God, the more you're amazed at how wide and how deep and how long he is. He's always got new dimensions to share with you. You know, the more I know about him, the more I realize how much more there is to know about him. The day I become an expert, that's the day I stop growing. And I don't want to become an expert on God. I just want to always be a learner. For my lifetime, I want to be a learner. So God's putting me in this learning situation where I like to call it being clueless in the spirit, you know, where I just don't know what I'm going to do next. So I really have to rely on him. I was speaking at a conference that week, and then that weekend I was going to go to this church. And the night before I was leaving for that meeting, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. I knew I had the topic of truth, but I knew I couldn't just, you know, come in there with Jesus is the way, and that's the only way, because I know that's the truth. But for them, they had to receive it. So I was just about to go to sleep. You know, that moment right before you pass into sleep. And I had prayed. I said, God, I'm not going to worry about this, because I know the hardest time to hear God's voice is when you're under stress. So you have to, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so you have to focus yourself on who you are. You say, I am the righteousness of God, and he wants to speak to me. I have peace, and I'm not going to let my anxiety or my mind control me here. And I have joy that God's on my side. So God, I'm going to be at peace. If you want to speak to me, if you want to give me a dream, I'm going to rest. And I'm going to be well rested for tomorrow. And we'll just go together and we'll see what happens. So right before I fell off to sleep, a phrase started going through my mind. I kept hearing it over and over again. And it was this phrase, the spirit of truth, the spirit of truth. And you know, it's in the Bible somewhere. I didn't know where it was, but I got up and I got my computer out and I searched for the spirit of truth and I found it. And it's in the book of John where Jesus said, I have to leave now, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you with the spirit of truth. I will give you the spirit of truth. In fact, what he said is, I will give you another one like me. I will give you a comforter. He will be the spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth and tell you of things that are yet to come. And I kept reading that, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit that we know is part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit we know is lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit we know baptizes us with power. The Holy Spirit we know just is with us and guides us. That was, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm reading this, and I'm reading the words of Jesus. He said, I will give you the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth and tell you of things yet to come. And something strange happened as I was watching, reading this verse over and over on my computer screen. There's two words that started to kind of flash in my mind's eye. I kept reading it over and over. He will be the spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you of things that are yet to come. He will be the spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. And those two words started to flash on that screen. Spirit, guide. He will be the spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. And God said, I want you to talk to them about the Holy Spirit, your spirit guide. And I don't know about you, but I didn't take that class in Sunday school, and they didn't teach me about the spirit guide. But you know what? That's what he is.
Yeah.
He's a spirit. And he guides us in our life. I could never live my life without him. He's my friend. He's my best friend. He's closer to me than anyone that I know. Anytime I have a question, he answers it. When I don't know what to do, he tells me what to do. He knows what I don't know. And so I just stood in front of those people and I said, I don't know what you believe about me. They introduced me actually as a Christian evangelist.
Oh, wonderful.
You could have felt the air just leave the room.
Yeah.
You know, because people were expecting me to get up and tell them everything they did wrong. And I said, you know what? I'm not really called to be an evangelist the way I see an evangelist. But let me tell you what an evangelist is. The word evangelist means one who brings good news. I said, so today, maybe I'll be an evangelist to you. I'll bring you some good news. In fact, I'll go one step further. My goal today is not just to be an evangelist to you, but to make you all evangelists, that you would bring good news to people everywhere you go. And you know what? Everybody smiled at me and said, yes, I want to be an evangelist too. And I just think sometimes the difference between people outside of the church and inside of the church isn't that great. It's just our language is different. You see, if we understand that bringing good news is a good thing. Anybody wants to be a person that brings good news. You want to bring good news. I want to bring good news. I hope everybody listening to our voice right now says, I want to be an evangelist. I want to bring good news everywhere that I go, because that's what we have inside of us. We have the good news, the best news, that Jesus loves people. That kind of took the apprehension out of the room. And I just started with this, who I believe Jesus was. I believe Jesus is who he said he is. He's the Son of God. He came from the Father. He died. He went back to the Father alive. And if we invite him into our life, he'll take all the dead things and he'll make them alive, all the old things and make them new. And he said when he left that he would not leave us alone, but he would give us one like him, a comforter, a guide. And he would be a spirit guide in our life. And I taught them about the Holy Spirit. I taught them about the Holy Spirit and said, maybe you've had other spirits guide you in your life. Maybe you've had other things that have sounded like truth to you. But I want to tell you today about the greatest friend you can ever have, a mentor that will teach you about Jesus. He will be the Spirit of Truth. And I asked people, how many of you would like to invite the Holy Spirit into your life to guide you, to lead you, to tell you about who Jesus really is? And you know, there was about 100 people that stood to their feet in this church to have the Holy Spirit come into their life. People are hungry for God. People are hungry for truth. And what we've sometimes given them is a bunch of rules, requirements, when God just wants relationship. And many of the people sitting in that room that day were people that left the church because they didn't see the love and the power of God there. And I'm not criticizing the church. I'm just saying that there's people who are seeking something, and they're seeking it wherever they can find it. What was so powerful about that day was it wasn't just that the Holy Spirit came and showed himself real to them, but God started to speak to me about some people he wanted to heal there. And I had a word of knowledge for healing, which is, it's just something that I couldn't possibly know in the natural, but God showed me there was someone there that had damage in their lower back. And I said it. I said, there's somebody here, you have a great amount of nerve damage in your lower back and you couldn't sleep last night. In fact, for weeks you've been in pain and you can't even stand to your feet without pain. And there was a woman sitting in the front row. She looked at her friend and she said, did you tell him? Did you tell him? Did you tell him? And I thought, how different. What an experience. I never would have this in the normal churches I go to. If I would have that kind of a word of knowledge in a normal church, people would jump to their feet and say, hallelujah, you know? But instead, we had these skeptical people who were seeking truth saying, did you tell him? And a couple people came and helped her stand up. She stood to her feet. And for some reason, I said, you know, I'm not even going to touch you. I'm just going to pray in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, back be healed. And she looked at me and I said, check your back now. And she felt her back and she looked at me. She said, how did you do that? I said, bend over. She bent over. Then she began to jump and she began to cry because she'd had this problem for months. In fact, it was going to have surgery. Here's what the greatest thing was. God knew exactly what to do and exactly how to speak to these people, because one of the leaders came up to me right away. He came running up to me. He folded his arms across his chest and he said to me, I don't believe Jesus is who you say he is. But for 2 weeks, we've been praying for this lady and we haven't been able to see her healed. He said, 2 weeks ago, I brought in some crystals, special crystals. He told me where they were from. I don't know what kind of crystals they were, but he said, those crystals didn't work. And I said, well, maybe you need to get a new pair of crystals. We know that there's only one rock that heals, and that's Jesus. And then he said, last week, I brought an energy healer in here specifically to pray for this woman in front of everyone. And he said she was a third degree Reiki healer. I didn't know what that meant at the time. I know the Reiki is the Japanese word for energy. And she was there to release energy, but the lady wasn't healed. And he looked at me and he said, with arms still folded, not believing who Jesus was, not believing what I believed, he said, would you please come back here and please teach us how you did that? I looked up at Jesus. I said, Jesus, are you coming? He said, yep, let's go.
Oh, wonderful.
And that year we visited 5 times to that church. Hungry people came from around the area, and just we scheduled it for about 2 months later. We came back and I taught a seminar on healing. Yeah. I called it the 3 dimensions of divine healing.
And it was just meditation dimensions.
Well, you know, it's the dimension.
Wonderful.
Jesus came to heal our bodies.
Yeah.
He came to heal our soul, that we can have peace, that we could be released from fear, that negative oppressions can be released from us spiritually. And most importantly, he came to heal our eternal spirits. He used the word sozo. God so loved the world, he came to save us, right? He came to save the world, to heal us body, mind, and spirit. They advertised that in the newspaper. New Age healers came from 3 states around the area. Wonderful. Over 100 healers showed up, and many, many more sick people showed up. Wonderful. At this New Age church. I had this really interesting phone call just a week or so before I was going to go back there. It was from another leader in that church. And she said, Bob, this is so-and-so from such and such a church. I said, hi, how are you? She said, I'm doing so great. She goes, but I have to tell you, since you've been here, the Holy Spirit has been doing so much in our church. And I said, what church is this again? She told me the church. I said, oh, okay, that's not what I expected. Okay, well, tell me what's happening. She said, well, just the other day, I was working in the church office, and I was in the storage closet, and I found this picture on the floor. It was in the back, and it was dirty, and it was dusty, and I picked it up, and I cleaned it off. It was a picture of Jesus. She said, I wiped it clean, and I hung it on the wall in our sanctuary, and I thought, this is God. She said, I don't know what God is doing, but thank you for coming. And I thought, you know, kind of comically, but also with great, great reverence, you know, Jesus is in this church and the Holy Spirit is in this church. Yeah. These guys are doing better than most Christian churches I know at this point. You know, they've allowed something, they've allowed an openness. And you see, there are a lot of people out there who they maybe don't like the church. I love the church. God's given me a love for the church because Jesus died. He gave his life for the church. And I decided I'm going to give my life to see this bride become everything that she's called to be. But there's some people who don't see it that way. And for those people, I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see the Holy Spirit and to realize that they've been called to be part of this beautiful bride. Maybe they didn't have the same faith background. Maybe they haven't had good experiences with organized religion. But Jesus said he came to seek and save that which was lost. Yeah. And that's what we're called to do. So what a privilege we had to go back there and minister healing in that environment. And, you know, I talked about divine healing and many people were healed. I actually even talked about the healing of the soul and how Jesus came to restore our souls and take away negative spiritual influences, even anxiety, depression. Sometimes those are caused by what we refer to and Jesus referred to as demons. And I didn't use that terminology, but there was someone there. He said, I've just been having so much problems with anger in my life. And he said, it just overtakes me. And I said, well, come here. I believe Jesus came here to set you free from that. And so I just told every negative spiritual influence that tries to bring anger into his life to leave and for the memories to be healed. And you know what the man said? He said, I just felt something leave down my left arm. He felt it leave down his left arm. I said, well, I don't know what that means, but if it's left, it must be good if it left. So the left is good. He was set free from anger that day. And then I told them, you know, Jesus didn't just come to heal your body and your soul, but he came to make your eternal spirit alive. Take all the old things, make them new. Yeah. All the dead things and make them alive. And a woman in the back, she raised her hand. I remember thinking, you're not supposed to ask questions in church. You know what I mean? Yeah. I grew up in church. I know how church works. You know, you go to church, you sit there, you listen to the preacher. He tells you what to do. Yeah. And then you leave. You go home and you don't do anything he said. Yeah. That's the way church works. Then you come back next week. So for her to ask a question, I thought, this is interesting. I wasn't sure what she was going to ask. She said, how can I have that healing of my spirit the way you talked about it? I want to receive healing in my eternal spirit. I said, are you sure you want Jesus, who came from the Father, who died and went back to the Father alive, to come into your life and to make all the old things new and the dead things alive? She said, that's what I want. I want it body, soul, and spirit. And you know, I had the great privilege of asking anyone else here that wants to receive Jesus into your life. The Jesus that was the Son that came from the Father and died, went back to the Father alive. 25 people walked to the front in a New Age church and said, I want Jesus in my life. And at that moment, I realized what Jesus said was true. You have to come into the kingdom like a child. And he had to get me to a place where I didn't know what I was doing. I had to rely completely on him. And so then he could take me into a place where I could see him make these people alive in him. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our friend, our father, our guide, our teacher. Thank you so much that you're in my life. Thank you. You're not just a powerful force. You're not just an energy. You're a person who wants to know me, who wants to reveal the heart of God to me, and who wants to help me reveal God to others. I pray for those who are out there today who maybe have been seeking the real Jesus, who Jesus is. And I pray that you would be released, Holy Spirit. And if you're just sitting there, you can say, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you teach me? Would you be my mentor? Would you lead me into truth? Tell me of the things that are yet to come in my life, the things that God has planned for me. And those of you who maybe have a relationship with God and you know the Holy Spirit, would you ask him to show you more how you could communicate God's love and God's power to other people? Because he's an amazing teacher. He could take a church boy and send him to the unchurched. He could take the Apostle Paul, who was trained in everything Jewish, and send him to the Gentiles. It doesn't make sense. But if you're willing to let him teach you, if you're willing to be a lifetime learner, he'll make you an expert. you won't act like an expert. You'll look like an expert even though you feel like you're a novice. You know, and if you would just learn to live your life as a learner, the Holy Spirit's a great teacher. He'll teach you everything you need for your life. Bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Bob. We really loved having you.
Don't look so sad. Your life isn't over. Jesus is here. If you should find you ever need him, don't say a word about tomorrow or your past life. There'll be no time for sadness when you meet him. Get your Bible. I'll show you a story about a man who died so you'd be free. He will save you, he will heal you, but best of all, he'll forever love you. He's Jesus, he's God, and he's mine. It's a good life. Come take my hand. I'll take you to the Master. Don't be afraid. No one will ever hurt you. The things you've done are all over and all behind you. No more care and heartache will ever find you. Get your Bible. I'll show you a story about a man who died so you'd be free. He will save you, he'll heal you, but best of all, he'll forever love you. He's Jesus, he's God.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
It's a good life.